Welcome to SEDEFOP's Skillset and Match podcast, where we discuss any issue relating to vocational education and training, skills, qualifications, the link between education and the world of work. I'm Panos Polyzoidis. The first Global Careers Month has been just launched, organized jointly by a body bringing together the world's most important organizations working on career guidance. The initiative aims to shine a spotlight on the importance of career guidance in helping individuals access decent work and careers and the support they need to plan and develop their careers. The event runs from the 8th of November to the 13th of December. To discuss this fresh initiative and the global state of affairs of career guidance, we are joined now by Cynthia Harrison-Villalba and by Florian Kadlitz. Florian is a human capital development expert at the ETF, the European Training Foundation, and Cynthia is the coordinator of CareersNet, SEDEFOP's network of independent experts in lifelong career guidance and career development.
Thanks a lot for having me. I'm very happy to be with you today.
Thank you.
Let's start from the basics. Careers Month, Global Careers Month. What is it? How is it going to be rolled out? And why now? Florian.
The idea was that this interagency working group on career guidance, composed of SEDEFOP, European Commission, European Training Foundation, ILO, OECD, UNESCO, and the World Bank, they join forces and create an event that creates much awareness around the topic of career guidance amongst practitioners, researchers, and policymakers. Changes in the labor markets are really incredibly intensely felt by people. So based on digitalization, automation, changes in the nature of work, greening of economies, the COVID pandemic, all those make the whole process of career-related decision-making much more challenging, both for young people, but also for adults. And we realized that in the whole effort of countries of up and reskilling, making adults fit for the work of life again, career guidance is often overlooked. And it's very important that we create awareness, the same for young people. It's about starting early with career education from early schooling onwards and developing the so-called career management skills.
Cynthia, tell us what the general concept is of this Global Careers Month.
The need for guidance had increased sharply, with people staying in education and training longer and pressure growing on people to upskill and reskill. There is greater policy attention on career guidance and career development right now in many places. So we learned from how the labor market was and still is affected by the turbulence of COVID-19, which had deeply disrupted demand for workers and accelerated patterns of automation and digital transformation that continue to change the character of work. And what's more, with accelerating economic globalization and demographic trends and growing efforts to create greener economies are changing the character of demand for skills in the labor markets around the world and are changing societies and workplaces. So there's a need to reach out and design better guidance systems and policies. And the Global Careers Month intends to address these issues. It's also an effort to draw attention to the idea that career guidance has an essential part to play in our societies, starting with each individual, offering tools and resources to enable people of all ages and all backgrounds to navigate each new disruption and labor market change and to develop their careers. We also focus on evidence and research because the evidence reviews give policymakers confidence that investment in guidance can be expected to provide positive economic, educational, and social returns to both individuals and society.
Florian, this is a full month with a number of different events in various places. Take us through the logic of the agenda and the structure of it.
On the 8th of November, we had the global opening where we tried to capture what the core themes of the Global Careers Month were. We had speakers from the European Commission, from the World Bank, from CEDEFOP, OECD, describing what the key topics are. And there we range from career guidance for young people in education to career guidance services offered to workers, to all adults. We also talk about the whole question of the societal challenges, the changes in the labor markets, and how career guidance can play a role in it. We also looked at the perspective of social partners on those core themes. So we know also about the role of employer organizations and trade unions in career guidance. We also looked in particular at what the regions do. And I think that's the specific strength of that whole month. All these global regions will hold regional events throughout the whole month for a simple reason, because career guidance needs to be context specific. It needs to be adapted to local conditions. And then in the global closing event, we're going to capture the regional discussions and highlight what were the main solutions found to the challenges all over the globe. And we will then again discuss how those challenges and solutions can be communicated to policymakers.
Let's now turn to the subject matter of this Global Careers Month. What is career guidance? A quick definition.
We used the 2008 definition from the Council Resolution on Improving the Role of Lifelong Guidance in Lifelong Learning Strategies, really as a starting point. We see career guidance as a continuous process that enables citizens or members of the public at any age and at any point in their lives to identify their capacities, competencies, and interests, and to make educational, training, and occupational decisions, and to manage their individual life paths in learning, work, and other settings in which those capacities and competencies are learned and/or used. So career guidance comprises processes and activities that support individuals in making decisions about education, training, and work pathways, which means career guidance takes place at transition points. But lifelong guidance, on the other hand, is proactive in relation to careers. It's a process that individuals can engage with throughout their lives and encompasses the development of strategies, competences, and skills to manage these transitions. So we see development of career management skills as an essential part of the process. It's about enabling and supporting clients or learners, individuals, even through self-help career platforms, through informal career learning, or staff-assisted services. It's really important to remember this user perspective.
Florian, what is the state of affairs of career guidance in the countries that the ETF is studying?
Basically, we work with the countries of Northern Africa, Western Balkans, Eastern Europe, Central Asia, and Middle East. And recently, we've conducted 10 country reviews in Eastern Europe and all Western Balkan countries. The key issues there are that we have fragmented policies and services for career guidance. That means education, employment, youth, they don't speak with each other. There's very little cooperation and there's very low systematic approach to career guidance. We also see that there is a very traditional understanding of career guidance in terms of early provision of career orientation for young people at transition points. That is not enough nowadays. So there needs to be a paradigm shift towards really empowering individuals. It's about skills for career management. Another issue is that public employment service still have a very strong focus on registered unemployed. It's about employment counseling, meaning matching skills with open positions. It's less about career guidance. An issue really is that you have many donors intervening in the countries. So donor interventions are fragmenting further the system. Funding is obviously a challenge. If there is funding, it's public funding. There is no innovative approach. Last but not least, digital and online services. They follow the fragmented approach that we see with policies and services. In a nutshell, all countries made huge progresses in terms of policies and services. And those issues that are outlined are just shared challenges in the approach to further improve their systems.
Cynthia, how about the European Union member states? What are the main challenges they face when it comes to career guidance?
Well, the systems in Europe have been consolidating over the years due to primarily the efforts of research, policy, and tools development in the countries through sharing innovative practices and through building structures that are now in place in many countries, such as guidance forum, national expert groups, development of reference frameworks such as the European Guidelines on Lifelong Guidance published in 2015, and also learning from sharing practices. But we also see a lack of coherency, a lack of cross-sectoral coordination, and enough integration into skills strategies and other key policies related to lifelong learning. So there's still a need for more investments to create stronger systems and better policies. However, there is right now increasing a national policy interest in parallel with an increasing more complex demands from users. So there is a need to raise awareness that services exist and also what is available. We can also say there is some key progress and heightened focus in EU policy, especially since 2020, in opening up access and accessibility and on creative policy solutions. So we see more attention actually on the role of quality career information. And all of these, let's say, signs of development and progress driving some of this momentum, this increasing policy interest. But career practitioners have to react and respond to the changes in our societies, and they need the tools and structures to do this, as they normally do, in a very uncertain environment right now. And they have to get used to working closely with technology, with career platforms, for example. So there needs to be more investment in their training and their qualification pathways.
Let me now move on to my last question. It's about relevance. How relevant is career guidance when one takes into account the recent crises, the 2008 economic crisis, the coronavirus pandemic crisis, and the recent energy crisis that's hitting Europe hard? Also, how relevant is it when we look at the need to increase competitiveness in the economy and to move on with the twin transitions, the green transition and the digital transition?
Crises such as the pandemic and the global crisis you've mentioned and the instability this causes remind us how unpredictable life can be. We see how being better prepared for this and the new skills demands, the skills requirements on being resilient, more aware, and able to sustain our societies is really critical. So there needs to be a constant awareness of the connection between individuals, education and training, and the world of work in the context of society's sustainability. I think career guidance can help with this. Through better preparing and empowering people, societies can become more resilient. The economic and social megatrends, such as the green transition as well as digitalization, imply a steep learning curve for some workers and for groups of learners. Acquiring some career skills and better understanding of how we need to make our way of living more sustainable is necessary and beneficial, but this can also shape the digital transformations and use the increased self-awareness of one's potential and strengths to develop careers in a sustainable direction. So young learners in school can consider employment opportunities in green occupation if they align these with their overall personal growth aspirations. Workers who are expected to face negative effects will need to be supported in different ways. So, for example, with tailored training opportunities and career counseling to enable them to navigate these changes. However, at the same time, it's better to be proactive and bring people into career guidance before this time so they're more prepared lifelong. Career guidance needs to address these differences. How a young student will process the challenges, opportunities, and changes in the world of work she is just beginning to experience through career explorations and through career education at school will differ compared to a young adult student or worker or an older adult still in the labor market or in education and training. It will also differ depending on the barriers faced, such as some persons with disabilities who may actually benefit from online counseling instead of having to visit a career center. For adults seeking a career change or facing a sudden transition, whether this is voluntary or not, quality career services can enable people in managing and also shaping these transitions to a greener and digital world.
Is there a way to make sure that career guidance can cope with such rapid changes that nobody could have ever foreseen?
We need to start early. Career guidance should not be seen as a service to react to a problem. It is an early intervention that is preventative, supporting the skills of young people throughout their whole formal education, so as to empower them that they are then ready to deal with those difficult situations. Simply said, there is no more job for life. We need to focus on career management skills development. And there it is about learning about ourselves. And then the second element would be to learn about the world of work. This should include to develop a critical understanding about the world of work. And the third element is learning about the world of learning and education, creating an awareness of lifelong learning, how I, as an individual, can deal with that situation, develop my learning to learn skills. So this is the core answer to your question, in my understanding. But we also need to develop the same kind of approach with adults. That could mean vulnerable groups. So we need to reach out to those people. And who is it who can provide that? As we've seen from a recent policy paper of the PES network, they aim at stronger cooperation and collaboration with other stakeholders, like non-formal adult learning providers, like NGOs, like youth workers, youth organizations, social workers. All these partners can play a very good and intensive role in providing career management skills learning programs that accompany the more skills matching approach of public employment services.
Cynthia, Florian, thank you very, very much for being with us.
Thank you very much, Panos and Cynthia. It was great talking to you.
Thank you very much for asking me to join you here today, Panos, and also thank you to my colleague Florian at ETF. It was really a pleasure.
That was Florian Kadlec, Human Capital Development Expert at the European Training Foundation, and our very own CEDEFOP's Cynthia Harrison-Villalba. We'll be back with more on vocational education and training, skills and qualifications. Until then, you can listen to our podcasts on our website, cedefop.europa.eu, and all major podcast platforms, and follow us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. Goodbye.